Others are muted. This conference is being recorded.
It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from the Brit. It was revolutionary. Now an enemy from within wouldn't save us all again and deprive us of our rights in the Constitution. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to understand. Restore the Republic. We're losing our freedom in the land.
Jimmy, are we muted on there, but we can hear each other right now?
I think so.
Okay. Because when... I'm sorry, I don't believe... Okay, there you are. There you're muted. I'm sorry. Good evening, everyone. This is Wednesday, September 10, 2014, and I'd like to welcome everyone to the Republic Information Call for all free state governors and free state executive and judicial branch officials. I'd like to ask, could I ask Governor Tony Smith from Nebraska to open us up in prayer? Governor Smith, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry, I had you on mute as well. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us all here tonight. We pray that we are blessed and edified with all that we learned tonight, that we are training ourselves correctly to enrich the people of our state, and above all, that we honor and praise you for the results of tonight. And thank you for all the blessings that have come upon us this month so far, and we anticipate more in the future. We thank you, Abba. We thank you and praise you. We ask you for spiritual gifts tonight of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and a spirit of discernment, so we should properly know what you have for us to do, what your plan is for us individually as well. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Governor Smith. I understand President Geiger's going to be on the call, but he's not with us yet that I can tell. I'm going to go ahead with the updates, and we'll go with Speaker Rockwell.
Yes, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the call. Give you an update from the House. We had a meeting yesterday, a joint session with the Senate. And we were discussing a document that our Attorney General, CHAC, had sent out. And we had lots of discussion on that last night. In fact, our call went longer than we normally have a call. And we decided that we weren't finished discussing that particular document just because there's a lot of information in it, that we're going to go ahead and do a joint session next week, next Tuesday as well. So we'll give you more updates on that next Wednesday when we have this call again, and give you updates. Most of the discussion was about, and if you haven't seen the document yet, I believe it's on the website, that main discussion was about President Turner. And I won't go into huge details just because the call lasted a couple of hours. And if you want to know more about the document, as I said, I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Brenda, I believe that's on the national website. Well, with that, I yield.
Yes, I believe it is. Senator LaRue, I see that you just got on the call. Would you like to give your update, please?
Yeah, give me just one second. I've got a little noise going on here in the front of the house.
Okay.
I just heard Speaker Rockwell give a kind of an update. We had a joint call last night to discuss the findings of the Attorney General. We're going to meet again next week to have some more discussion on it. And we're still meeting in our committees. I apologize for being late. I was on the judiciary call in the Senate. And so we're still working toward things, and, you know, we're working to get things sorted out. So that's where we're at in the Senate. Thanks.
Sorry. I was asked to ask Justice Moak if he had an update from the judicial branch.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
How are you all doing tonight? Well, for the past several weeks, we went through trying to develop a process by which the common person could initiate a complaint at the local level. We went through that. It's been several weeks ago, and probably the next item that we're going to take up in our call will be the paperwork or the process, the procedure in which someone could bring a case before the one Supreme Court. We're getting pretty close to possibly having a quorum of justices, and we just want to be sure that, you know, we're following the existing de jure court rules of the court, as we should, and we've got people that's doing research on that, and over the next few weeks, that's probably what we're going to be doing. And with that, I yield. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Moak. Our president has just joined us, and I'd like to turn the call over to him now. President Geiger.
Thank you, Brenda. Thanks for rescuing me. I'm not home, and couldn't find the proper. Anyway, thank you for that. But and thank you, everybody, for being on the call tonight. I want to clear up some things that have to do with Jim Siak's opinion from the Attorney General's office. There's a couple of misunderstandings I want to deal with. And I know that the Attorney General is probably going to be asked to give us an addendum to his opinion to explain things a little bit better, because anyway, it'll become obvious when you hear what I have to say. But dealing with one thing, the concerns that Tim Turner was being attacked by the Attorney General's opinion or by me is will be completely false. What we have done, though, if you remember, the allegations against President Turner was that he was a self-appointed president. That was what the defector was saying about Tim Turner. The research that Attorney General Siak has performed on our behalf has shown that President Turner absolutely was not a self-appointed president. That being said, he was elected to that office prior to there being a republic for the United States of America. And also, the record does show he did not take the prescribed oath of office for the President of the United States as prescribed by the Constitution. Now, those things was not, the fact that he had not taken the prescribed oath by the Constitution was not brought to my attention until the week leading up until my inauguration this past March. So it's one of those things that had to be dealt with. It is public knowledge. It's not a problem. I can tell you it's probably a good thing, because before there was a George Washington holding office as President of the United States, there were other presidents in this country that functioned and had an oath of office that was not prescribed by the Constitution. That's a fact also, just the way things are. And as President Turner was fond of saying, and I would agree with him, nobody wrote us a book on how to restore the republic, how to reoccupy it. Now, that being said, I've got no doubt that Abraham Lincoln, based on the research I've done, would have taken the necessary steps to restore the republic during his second term of office had he not been assassinated. So the message we had there was that you know, the Union was preserved, but the Republic was not. So what we've accomplished in 2010, with a quorum, by the way, of at least 36-plus states, was to lawfully reoccupy the Republic on behalf of the American people. Now, does that mean that we're the permanent government of the United States? Absolutely not. It means that we have the delegated authority from the people, and that we hold the playing field, if you will. We hold the Republic in our hands. It doesn't mean that Jim Geiger or Dan Owens, anybody else in the Republic, owns the Republic. No, that everybody in America is in the Republic, whether they know it or not. Americans are. And it's their Republic. Now, when you get to the question of quorum, Attorney General Siak, in terms of quorum, he can talk for himself, but I believe he would say, in regards to quorum, he's talking about, do we have a quorum in regards to the 50 states? Absolutely, we do not. I would not make that claim, and I would not. Did we have a quorum in the first session of Congress? Yes, we did. But in an interim capacity, even with that quorum, we were limited in what we could do because we are an interim government. We are not the permanent government. Right now, nobody would question the fact that the Congress has delegated authority from the 13 or so states to conduct business. But what is that business that they have the authority to do? Basically, the same thing I had requested of them when I reconvened Congress was that they take whatever necessary steps to build this republic. What is the function of the president? My job, to build the republic, to open my arms up to the American people, let them know this is their republic, and they need to come join us. Be responsible. They have an obligation to re-inhabit their republic. It's theirs. It's not ours. It's the people's. It always has been. So the issue of delegated authority, you would say, does the Congress have delegated authority from the 13 states to do business, to build the republic? Absolutely, yes. And nobody can argue with that fact. There's nobody in the green states that would say that they didn't give delegated authority to their Congress or senator in their state to do business at the national level to build the republic. Now, do any of us, me included, have any delegated authority from the 200-plus million Americans out there to do the kind of business such as writing laws that would affect 200-plus million Americans? Absolutely not. Do you or me or anybody in the Republic have authority delegated to them from that same 200 million people-plus people to change the Constitution? Absolutely not. And I don't think anybody in the right mind would argue with me on those points. So the bottom line is, I applaud Attorney General Siak on his opinion. And if you think we got a firestorm dealing with this now, what about 6 or 8 months from now when you got millions of people in the Republic? And let's just say you had all kinds of legal beagles out there looking over our shoulders and seeing what all was done. Well, I tell you, we've got nothing to hide. So let not your hearts be troubled. The Republic has been restored. You do have a president. You do have a Congress. And they do have delegated authority to act on your behalf to build this Republic. That being said, they do not have delegated authority to make laws or change the Constitution that affect 200 million Americans. So I hope my comments tonight have cleared the air on these issues. If President Turner were here, I'm sure he would be agreeing with me wholeheartedly. What was done, my request to the Attorney General and the Attorney General's opinion was absolutely necessary. We're not going to be sweeping anything, trying to hide anything the Republic has done in the past, present, or future. This is an open interim government. We're answerable to the people, and we're answerable to the Constitution. We don't have the ability to change the Constitution, but we can sure abide by it. So I'm going to be on the line tonight to be able to answer any questions on this, but I think you can expect an addendum. I had already asked Attorney General Seac for an addendum on something I had already identified in his opinion already prior to the release of it. So I'm sure we'll be seeing a little bit more detailed opinion on the quorum issue. And I'm not speaking for the Attorney General tonight, but I'm telling you what my opinion is. I'm sure his opinion should be very similar to mine, but I don't have any sway over what he says or what he doesn't say, but I do agree with what he said so far. But you do have to understand that when he's talking about the issue of quorum, he's talking about, do we have a quorum to change, to make laws that affect 200 million Americans? And do we have a quorum to change the Constitution? And I would agree with him, no, we absolutely do not. As a caveat to that, do we have delegated authority from the 13 green states, or however many there are now, to do our jobs in the Republic, president on down? Absolutely, we do, and I don't think anybody would argue with that. So I'm going to stay on the line, and I'm sure maybe we got more questions out there. I'm just dealing with the things that have crossed my desk over the past day or so since Congress met last night, because I'm hearing all these things from different avenues, and I wanted to everybody to hear it from me. So God bless you all, and I'll be here to answer questions. I yield.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to turn the call now over to Governor Jimmy Horton.
Thank you, Brenda. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
Very good. We're running out of time here, and I'm sure there's some governors on here and they have some questions. One question did pop in my mind very quickly to the president. I appreciate him coming on, and appreciate the Senate and House coming on and the judiciary giving updates. We appreciate you so much for keeping the states informed of what's going on. So I understand you, Mr. President, that Mr. Turner was one correct oath away from being the lawful president. Is that correct?
No, sir. President Turner did not participate in the Electoral College process. Neither did President Turner take the oath prescribed by the Constitution that a president takes. Those are two issues that criteria that were not met by President Turner. The oath that President Turner took, according to Attorney General's research, was a military oath. Now, that would go quite well with what we kept hearing from President Turner. If you remember that he was dealing with the military. So I don't know the details. I wasn't involved. But I would venture to say that maybe the people he was dealing with, maybe they gave him that oath. I don't know where the oath came from. I just know it's not the oath that's prescribed by the Constitution. So what the Attorney General's opinion was is that, yes, President Turner was the president, but he was the president of the Assembly. of the several states. So if you're aware of anything to do with oaths, one of the things that's absolutely paramount is that until you take the proper oath of office, you do not occupy that office, period. So President Turner never occupied the office of President of the United States. And that's a fact, because we have a recording of his oath. Now, that doesn't take away from what we've accomplished. Like President Turner kept telling us, there's no book to tell us how to do this properly. And I can tell you, there was no time frame and no mechanism at the time, I believe, where there have been an electoral college process to have taken place. I just don't think it was logically or feasibly possible back during those days when the Republic was being reoccupied. So I hope that goes a little ways towards answering that question. But what we're dealing with here is facts. We don't deal with what we wish we'd done or whatever. Go ahead.
Thank you. Do you believe he intended to take the correct oath?
I don't know. I can't say. I don't know. If he was dealing with the military may have told him to take this oath. I don't know.
All I know is the fact
he did not take the proper oath.
Okay, so I know we're fondly we always refer to him as President Turner, so maybe we should just not take that notation off and it's Mr. Turner. Would that be correct?
No, he's still the president. He was still president. The individuals that took the oath of president before there was a constitution, they were also presidents. What we've done in the Republic, in fact, mirrors what our forefathers did. There were presidents in this country prior to there being a constitution. George Washington was the first president of the United States, the first one to take the oath prescribed by the Constitution. Now, it's, you're going to have all kind of legal scholars out there and experts in their own minds to come up with all kinds of arguments or whatever. But, yes, President Turner, as far as I'm concerned, was my president, and I still consider him to be a past president of the Republic for the United States of America. However, he did not take the proper oath to be President of the United States. I hope that's clear as mud to you, but those are the facts.
Very good. Thank you. I'll open it up to any other governors who have any questions.
Yeah.
Q&A session started.
And let me say this. I don't want to take your call over, but I don't want to rush this call either. If we need to carry this song out further, we definitely can. There's no need to rush. If we have people in the queue that want to ask questions about all these things, that's fine. And I wish Attorney General Siak was here. In fact, you know, I might try to three-way him. I know he's at work. He's working like a 14-hour day today, from what I understand. But if need be, I could try to get him on here too. Are you?
That'd be fine. Oh, thank you. Brenda, do you have any governors in the queue? I'd like to thank
No, I do not. I just turned it on a minute or so ago, and I have no one in the queue. John, do you have anyone in the queue?
I do not at this time. If you wish to get into the queue, press *6 and a 1, and that will get you in the queue. I yield.
Governor McLaughlin, you on here?
Yes, sir. I just had to unmute you.
Yeah. Do you have anything you'd like to bring up on the internet?
I do, actually. If Senator LaRue is still on, I'd sure like to bring him back on and have a little bit of clarification because, you know, the way that, because I listened to the gallery call last night, and I've been part of the Republic for over 3 years, and it seems like, you know, when I first started, you know, we had a couple of different administrations here, and every time we had a group come in, then we, you know, we've dealt with this particular situation already in our state on several different occasions. And my concern is that we really need to concentrate on the states trying to build themselves with, you know, because to me, each state is their own entity, and it's the power of all of the states coming together is what makes the union and makes, and where, and then to me, the federal is supposed to be helping us build our states and take care of our states. Because I believe, it's my understanding that that's part of what the Constitution says, that we keep all of those rights for the state to handle within the state level. And it seems to me that that is what has happened over the last couple of years, and why we had such a big divide, because, you know, that seems to be where the power control issue seems to come in, and that's disturbing to me, because I've spent a lot of time and a lot of effort, just like everybody else has, but I've also had some of the people that were involved from the very beginning come up to me in some of our meetings that we've had here in our state when President Turner would come down and try and help clarify and help us with our election and everything. And I had those people come to me and say, look, I've been here from the beginning. How would you feel as people come in and take it away from you? And just as President Geiger said, it's the people's republic in the first place. And I think that we need to all have that understanding as we go forward from here with that in mind, because as more people come in, it's only going to get worse. And if we don't stand, I think we have an opportunity now to resolve this and to actually, this will actually validate what we're saying, because this has been brought to our attention, you know, but we have to really work on getting more of, you know, getting our states, letting our states grow up and maturing the way that it needs to. Otherwise, this is never going to grow. And as it builds up, it's going to keep falling apart as we have different groups come in trying, you know, trying to vie for power. And I believe that the power should stay in the states. With that, I yield.
Well, this is Thank President Gough. I agree with you. You're preaching to the choir. I've been on the radio a couple of times over the past week or so, and that's my main. What I've told you tonight is my main message to the American people: is that this is your republic. The people own it, and always have. And we're in the republic. You know, I'm the president of the Republic for the United States of America. It doesn't mean I own it. I mean, I'm just the chief administrator, if you will. And my job. My hands are tied. Now, I don't have a militia that's under my control that I can nationalize like Abraham Lincoln did when he had to deal with the states that left the Union. And you know, that's what Abraham Lincoln had to do. You know, they never declared war on the South. If he did, he would have been recognizing the South as a legitimate government. The fact is the Union is perpetual, and he acted absolutely correctly in preserving the Union. And I absolutely believe, like I said earlier, that Abraham Lincoln would have restored the Republic at that time also, had he not been assassinated. So, you know, we went through a period here in the Republic. The same thing happened in the original Republic with the nation states coming in. That mentality actually, it came in as early as 1820 or so. And those people who infiltrated our Republic, if you will, back in that time frame, they used that methodology, it's Nathan's nation state methodology, if you will, to divide this country and conquer it. And they absolutely took control of our country, and their crowning achievement was the assassination of President Lincoln. That kind of put the linchpin in it. They already tried to assassinate James Buchanan prior to him, and James Buchanan became quite docile after they about killed him with poison. But the bottom line is the Republic has gone through that same fate, if you will. Those same kinds of people, nation-state people, infiltrated the Republic and divided it. And what we have left today, I'm standing here as the President for the Republic of the United States of America, and very much, I'm dealing with very much the same things that Abraham Lincoln had to deal with when he became president, and all the states in the South had left. In other words, you know, they didn't have a quorum. You know, what are they going to do? So he convened Congress in a limited manner to do things that were required to support the war effort. And the war effort was to preserve the Union. So I believe he acted correctly. And I'm sure there's people out there that would disagree with me. But what he did, in my opinion, was to preserve the Union, and he was not given the opportunity to restore the Republic. So, yes, it's the People's Republic, and I'm doing everything I can do every week to reach out to the American people on radio shows, and having media calls, meetings with the people in leadership in the Republic every week to see what we can do to grow this Republic so that your state can have an influx of people, and that you're in a position to help educate all those new people as they come in, because the Americans, for the most part, on the street, if you will, are not going to be educated in their law form to the degree that most people in the Republic are. So we all need each other. You know, my job wouldn't exist without the states. Any of the national senators and congressmen's jobs wouldn't exist without the states being there. I hope that nobody would argue with me that our main job at the national level is to grow the states. So I'm reaching out to the American people to try to get them to occupy their republic. That's what I do. And my charge to the Congress early on was to find ways that they could help in that effort. And they have the delegated authority to do that. There's no reason why they can't be helping to help build your state and other states. So that's what our obligation is right now. Our obligation to our children and our grandchildren, our fellow Americans, is to build this republic on a solid foundation, and that foundation is the Constitution. So I hope I've answered your question and your comment, and let me know if you have further questions. I'd be glad to answer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Brenda, is there anyone or Mr. Rockwell, is anyone in the queue? Any governors?
I have no one in the queue, Jimmy.
Okay.
I have no governor in the queue either.
Thank you, Mr. Rockwell. I've spoken with some governors. I guess they're a little shy tonight. But it seems to be the consensus that of the ones I've spoken with that, we're eagerly anticipating the resolution of this situation that is raised by the opinion. And I can safely speak for the
the governors who won't speak up, and saying that we in the states expect the national government, when they come out with some published opinions, anything that has legal implications, to be correct and be clear, concise, be right. We need that. We need the know that when we call on our national government for advice or help, that when we get that help, that it will be correct and constitutional. We have book, chapter, and verse. We need to know that, like you said, the Constitution is law form, and you depend on it, and we appreciate it, and that's what we need in the state. So it's a great, and Governor McLaughlin brought out a great point. We have a great opportunity here to define ourselves. A lot of times conflict can be turned into a good thing to channel correctly. And we do admonish the national government to be clear and concise and say what they mean and mean what they say. That's going to help build these states, because the rest of the country is looking at what we're doing, and they're going to want to join the people who get it right. They can join some false republic out here. They can go off and do whatever. But I believe the American people are tired of de facto saying we're not going to read this law until we pass it, and then we'll see what's in it. I think those days are over. The American people want something better. They want the truth. They want a government that is trying to do what's right. And I believe we owe it to them, at the very least, to try our best to be clear, concise, direct, and right as possible. And when we make a mistake, admit it, and find ways to correct it, if it's correctable. And so I'll be hoping that some of the other governors come on. We had some great conversations about some other topics this week that I was hoping they could bring the questions on, but a little tongue-tied tonight. I don't want to run over into the building of the state's call, Brenda, if we don't have any more in the queue. So I will.
Jimmy, am I still on your call?
Yes, you are.
Okay. May I have the floor again for just a second?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because I had, when I first joined, it was 3 years ago, and I sat in, and it's just kind of a funny thing of how I even was invited. I was invited to print T-shirts for the assembly. I wasn't even invited to listen to the spiel or listen to what. I didn't even know anything that was going on. It became being in banking, and I was a college student at the time. I've since got my degree, and when I sat there and I listened to the conversation and the things that Brett LaRue, the senator for my state, was saying, I knew from my experience and in my heart that everything that he was saying was correct because of my experience that I'd had, and not everybody. And it's my, I've always known that people. You're going to tell 10 people the exact same story, but they're going to pick out things that are important to them and that they want to hear. And we have to be very careful about not doing that at this point, especially. And we're all limited to our experience. My concern is that, because when we had our big breakup here and when the whole republic had its big problems, it's because they were attacking Brett and making false accusations against him and everything. It's very disconcerting to me that in the last 2 years, as I've been governor in all these calls, we have been referring to Brett as the go-to guy on what's legal. And that's where, as the leader of my state, I feel it's very important for us to bring that to the forefront, because, all of a sudden, Brett isn't being asked these questions, and that bothers me. And I think that that's something I would like, because I asked for Brett to come on and reiterate some of the conversation I had with him, because he is so versed in the law and how he approaches things, how he looks at things, how he speaks to people. He is such a good recruiter, and we're losing so much by not having him. And I feel like he needs to be part of our governor calls and helping the governors get to the right place where they need to be so that we'll have a stronger state, so we don't keep falling apart as we build up, because that's not getting us anywhere. And with that, I yield.
Thank you, Linda. Anyone else? John or Brenda in the queue?
I have no one in the queue.
Okay.
Is Brett still on the call?
Say one thing, if I may. I believe our delegated authority lends itself to us being statesmen, not politicians. So if there's anybody out there playing politics, it's not what we're about. So those kind of issues will be dealt with. How are you?
Thank you. Well, we'll get some tongue-tied governors out there, and we're running over into the Bill and States call. If no one has anything to say, governors, this is your opportunity to speak up.
Okay, we do have Governor Smith from Nebraska.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Governor.
I don't know if now is the appropriate time to ask this, but just recently, I mean, our state's been getting into that state citizenship passport issue. Does the Republic have any stand on that? I mean, or any information that they can share on that?
This is President Geiger.
Yes,
my opinion is it's not a national issue. Others may have a different opinion, but it's a private issue. So I don't have an opinion on it, not officially. It's a private matter, in my opinion. So people are going to do what they're going to do on all those kinds of issues. That's just one of a myriad of issues. You know, for instance, having a driver's license. Some people may not want a driver's license. Well, if that's what they want to do, it's their...
Excuse me, sir. Having a what? A beat keeps happening on the line just as you're seeing whatever that is. Having a what?
A driver's license.
I see.
Some people don't have driver's licenses, and that's not a Republic matter. I mean, it's a private matter. How they can put their private business is none of my business.
Mm-hmm.
The contracts they enter into is none of my business. So my business is to get the people to reoccupy this Republic.
I see. Well, then... I yield it.
Thank you, Governor. I have no one else, Governor Horton.
Thank you, Brenda. Is there any other branch opinions on that issue that would like to weigh in on that? Justice Moak, are you with us?
Just a second. I'll unmute him. Mr. Smoke, you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I don't really think right now that we need to have a quote-unquote opinion from anybody on the court because, but let me just say this. For certain, because I was there in the Republic since February of 10, I believe it was the intent of President Turner to be the president. I believe it was the intent of the people to elect him president. I am certain President Turner, did not take the correct oath. I am certain that if there is no oath, there is no position. I am certain that President Turner was not elected through the electoral process. I am certain, to the best of my knowledge and belief, President Geiger did go through the electoral process correctly. And I'm also certain that President Geiger did take the correct oath, because I was the one that gave it to him. Possibly this would help someone. With that, I yield.
Thank you, Justice Malka. I've had some people ask me about what the governor of Nebraska brought up about citizenship passport things that, and how it would affect their status in the Republic. Do you have anything on that you could offer?
Well, we're at a very delicate place now. People are trying to avoid subordination to the de facto corporation, and in doing that, we have to try to also do what it says in the Constitution, which is, shall be a citizen of these United States. We really have a dilemma. We've talked about it before. I don't know if you people have. I believe Bob really summed it up good. The word united started out as an adjective before the ratification of the Constitution, and then it quickly became part of a proper noun, or the proper name, after the ratification. So right now I'm not going to enter into the fray, because quite frankly I'm still studying out myself. And maybe that's all I need to say right now. So what we really need to do is we really need to pray the Lord for discernment on this. We need to really pray, and we need to study and be sure that we get it right. Maybe that's all I should say on that. And I'm not trying to cut you off at all, Governor. I hope you understand that.
I do understand, and I do not want you to put yourself into a say anything that you cannot get out of.
Well,
like I said earlier, it's okay to say I don't know.
Well, I don't. I don't, and I admit that. And I personally am not going to make a big move, especially on something like that, until I have direction from the Holy Spirit. And no, I'm not trying to bring religion in on this. Big decisions require big confirmations. And I've made decisions in the past prematurely, and I've suffered from it. I do not know. I do not have the answer right off the top of my head, and I'm certainly not going to advise anyone. I'm going to still yet continue to study and pray about this. And that's, I guess, the best advice anybody could give anyone. Don't do anything until you've really studied and prayed about it, and go from there. I think I better yield.
Justice, thank you, Justice Malk. If there's no one else, I want to pick on you just a little more, sir. This is a rare opportunity for me.
That's just fine.
I had made a statement today to some others about governors that I thought the Attorney General was the highest judicial, legal advisory position that's official. And at this point, is that correct, that we don't have a Supreme Court in place? Is that a correct statement?
We do not have a Supreme Court seated, because we do not have a quorum, and the number of justices has changed over the years, but the last time it was 9, so we would have to have a quorum of 5. You're right, we do not have the court. So yes, and of course his decision would of course have to coincide with everything constitutional. But yes.
And And that, and those opinions, what was the opinions? How much weight in law do they carry?
Weight in law. Well, of course, it's not like a judicial opinion. It's just the way that he is interpreting the laws of the Constitution at this time. If there ever was to be a problem to be resolved, of course, we hope that's never the case. We hope that, you know, every problem can be worked out before, but ultimately, if there is a problem that has to be resolved, then that would have to be resolved in the court. Let's just believe that things don't get to that. Let's just believe that everything's going to, you know, that things will be worked out.
Well, that leads me to, I guess you almost answered my next question, was that are official opinions amendable, or are they once made, are they amendable before?
Well, certainly. I mean, even like the court, the Supreme Court has reversed itself not once but many times in its history. You know, simply because that there is a, of course, we're talking about two different things. You know, it's simply because a Supreme Court makes a decision in subsequent years. Many times that decision is reversed. So, sure, I mean, look at presidents. Presidents have constantly changed their mind on different things throughout the history of our government. Look at Congress. Congress has passed laws only to turn right around and change them or nullify them. So, yeah, I mean, our country is pretty well full of, making a decision or making a law and then turning around and changing it. I mean, we're people, and people sometimes make mistakes. I've made many of them. And, there's no book written about what we're doing. We just all do the best we can. So, and I hope I've somewhat answered your question.
I was trying to be led by the Spirit while asking those questions, sir. Thank you.
Okay. All right. If there's nothing else, I'll yield.
Thank you so much. Anyone else? Anyone else? Speak now. Forever hold your peace. Last time I heard that, I ended up with a wife. Uh-oh. So. For 25 years, I might add, so I'm glad nobody spoke up.
Well, mine's 35, and according to Scripture, that's an agreement and a statement that is not amendable.
I was talking to a governor today about my authority, and I said, I can do everything my wife lets me do. No problem. Glad to do it. So I do yield to a higher authority. Brenda or John, anyone have any closing comments? We're running over into the building to space call. I know we ran over. Any closing thing on the governor's call? Anyone? I do want to say that I do feel that we have a lot of great people in great positions that whatever comes up in the Republic, that we can work it out, because, you know, our whole goal in this thing is to, you know, bring political virtue back, a government that people love. People understand when governments mess up, but they don't understand when they don't fix it. And I believe that, you know, we have the people in place that we continue to as President said, for it to defend the Constitution, that the good Lord will add to our numbers. There's no doubt in my mind. And that is one of our greatest works, to take care of the people's business. And I appreciate the governor from Nebraska and Oklahoma for coming on tonight and speaking up. This is an open forum. Bring on anything that concerns you in the states. This is your government, so we appreciate you. If you don't have anything, Brenda, I guess I'll turn a call back to you.